Well, the legislature's over for now. State Representative John Rainey in studio with us. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Scott.
I guess the first question is, are we going to have a special session and we'll have the official word today?
I think that's what's going to happen.
Put that mic right in front of you. There you go. It's not like the House where y'all have those expensive microphones.
We don't have them in the House.
Oh, okay.
It's in the Senate.
Now, I'll tell you, let's go back and look at this session because we have talked before. I said to your fellow rep from the area, Kyle Cassell, he sounded as frustrated as I've ever heard him about 3 weeks ago when the local bills were not able to get passed because the session basically got hijacked. But speak a little bit to the idea that we're seeing divisions within the Republican Party and the Republicans versus the Democrats that are about as bad as it's been in a long, long time.
Well, that's funny because sometimes you see the Democrats and the far right of the Republican Party joining together, which is kind of funny. And then you see the same group fighting. It's the more moderate Republicans or conservative Republican. I call myself a conservative, but if you're comparing me with the far right, maybe I'm a moderate. But regardless, it's that group who, the extremes in both parties who refuse to try to come to any kind of a conclusion that is somewhere that we can find all some consistency with. Some of the D's are talking about racism a lot, which bothers me. I don't see it, not like it was when I was growing up, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans are talking about, well, we don't want to pick winners and losers, but yet they do it too, and we all do some of that. But it's the far right is as bad as the far left, as far as I'm concerned. I call myself center right.
Okay.
And conservative who thinks a little. Maybe that's what I try to do.
But Sunday we had push and shoving and horrible words said to each other.
It was disgusting. That was Monday. But
Monday, yeah.
It was Monday. But the truth of the matter is both parties were wrong. There was no reason to be antagonistic to one another. And once one started it, the other one took the bait and jumped in. I suspect that part of that was somewhat planned. I don't know that. When we had a whole gallery full of people wearing red shirts who claimed to be illegals, I don't know whether they were or not,
mm-hmm.
and that they were chanting, "We're going to stay. We want to get rid of SR4. H-S-8, SR4.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that attitude going on, it was an attitude that had prevailed most of the session and really started with the Sanctuary City Bill.
Sure. John Rainey joining us this morning. I was surprised to see Speaker Strauss has said that he's going to run for re-election. I was surprised to see he would be the longest serving Speaker of the House if he's reelected, when you consider Craddock and Laney and some of the personalities we've had. But talk a little bit about his leadership style as opposed to Dan Patrick's and how that played this year.
Well, his leadership style has typically been, I let my committee chairman do their job, I let the members vote their districts. And every time I have ever talked to him, he says, your job is to vote your district. He's kind of a hands-off. From my standpoint, it may be a little different if you were a committee chairman in one of the major committees. But and he does have committee chairman meetings all the time. Dan Patrick seems to say, if it's not my way, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And changing the rules to where it doesn't take 21 any longer to get a vote. You have to have 19.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of means that you don't have to work together, in my estimation.
Well, and I mean, we heard words even leading up to the beginning of the budget conference committee. I mean, in the House, they'd called this Enron-type economics. The Senate had said that, you know, we're not doing anything that hasn't been done before. I mean, there were harsh words from the leadership as well at one another.
Well, there is. I don't know that there's any love lost. Maybe that's the right word. I don't know. We in the House, for the most part, really like Joe Strauss because he lets us do what we think we need to do. I don't know what the guys in the Senate feel. I think that they feel pressured constantly, and that may be wrong. I don't know. You talk to the members over there. I have not. But it from the outside, it looks like it's my way or the highway.
John Rainey joining us this morning. The session, regular session's over. We're here about a special session today. What do you say to those people who say you, the House, did not solve the school finance problem? You, the House, did not really get us yet what we want in property tax relief?
Well, I disagree, of course. But House Bill 21 went to the Senate, and the Senate killed it. So we had a bill there that would have begun that process at least. It may not have been perfect. Matter of fact, I don't think any bill is perfect. Mm-hmm. So I think it was the Senate's fault that we didn't get school finance. What was the other question?
Well, the school finance is one of the things in the property tax.
Oh, the property tax. Well, the property tax issue is a local issue as I see it. And I think we passed a bill that would give people, when they get their property tax bill, a idea of what's really happening, because it has those two elements in it, the appraisal rate and the tax rate. Sometimes city councilmen and other people will say, well, we didn't raise your rate, but your bill goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have I guess you'd say a spreadsheet that is active, interactive, and you can put in those numbers and see what's really happening. And it'll show you what your taxes have been, what they will be, and what the rates are. So we think we're going to have a little bit of a informational piece of information that will help you determine what's really going on with your taxes. The cities and the counties and the schools are the ones that raise the taxes. We don't get anything at the state level from property tax, unless you want to talk about a little of that overflow from school tax going back to the state and then spreading them out. So we don't do that. So if there is a problem with your taxes, you ought to be dealing with local people, not the legislature. Each governmental body across the state has differences. I think it's up to the voters in those districts, those cities, those towns, to control their property tax, not the state.
At the end, John Rainey joined us this morning. You ended up, you were vice chair of higher education. At the end of the day, college higher education basically got what they were looking for. I mean, you had to do some cutting, but you put back the special items.
Well, A&M particularly came out well because it's growing, continuing to grow, and some of that's based on the numbers. So A&M came out fairly well. The medical schools did not come out as well. I don't know why. I didn't understand that in the end. I think we had more money in there than we actually came out of the conference committee. So basically higher ed did fair, I'll say. They weren't hurt as bad as they would have been hurt if we'd adopted the Senate's version of SB1. I'm hoping that the economy improves. It better improve, because otherwise we should have used that $2.5 billion
right
in rainy day fund. Because at the end of this session, it's going to be over $11 billion. So
right.
I think we probably should have used it. I voted to use more of it, $2.5 billion, but that wasn't what the conference committee came up with.
Finally, what have we not covered that you think needs to be talked about?
Well, I would like to tell you about one particular instance. I had a rider in the appropriations bill that got lost, and it was very disappointing to me. We have here at A&M what's called the Energy Systems Lab. Dr. David Claridge runs that. I had a rider in there that would require the state, in all of its buildings over 100,000 square feet, go through an energy audit, and then they would then learn what they could do to improve the energy efficiency of their facilities. I think it was a good measure. It would save the state of Texas a lot of money. It had a method for them to finance that without going to state. In other words, they could get a contractor to finance it and pay that contractor back with energy savings, and then they'd get to keep the savings for other part of their budget after that. I think we'd have saved hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't have the method of knowing that for sure, but I do know that there were instances where the Energy Systems Lab had gone in and looked at various buildings and was able to save a minimum of 25% on the utility bill, and I think it's a measure that ought to take place. I've had bills concerning that two sessions. The second session, I guess it was, somebody says it's a green bill. And I guess they were concerned about it being supported by the Sierra Club.
I see.
And if I'd have been thinking quickly, I would have reached in my pocket and I'd have pulled out my wallet and the dollar bills and I'd have waved them and said, "You damn right, it's a green bill."
There's your green right there.
It's a money savings bill. Sure. And I think we'll be back with that again. Mm. It got misplaced somewhere or another, and I can't get to the end of it. I think it must have been a clerk that did something wrong, but I don't know.
Okay. And finally, I guess what I do need to ask you about is I know that you had worked very hard for accountability for community colleges. You got some things in place. Is Blinn included in that?
Well, all community colleges will learn something. What the bill ended up being was a group of five community colleges that will begin a study to try to come up with a solution. We're going to work in. They'll work independently of one another, I suppose, and come up with a way to report the way we were wanting to. We determined during the session that there were some problems, particularly in some districts where part of the district was in a taxing district and part of it was not. And so that particular facility, so they couldn't divide it up easily. And I tried to tell them, well, things that we can't divide, let's put in one separate category, and then we can kind of divide them up on a per capita basis, I guess you'd say. But I think we're going to come to some conclusions. I don't know whether Blinn will be one of the five. The Texas Association of Community Colleges was in agreement with this, so I think it's going to be a good bill. The main thing we're going to learn is where they're spending the money, how they're spending the money, and are all of their campuses running efficiently. Community colleges are going to continue to grow. They're going to be one of the key elements in educating our workforce and our communities, and they already have more students than four-year colleges. Mm-hmm. So let's look at them closely and then try to maybe improve their funding some so they can grow some more and do more things. The legislature doesn't have the appetite when we don't know what's going on with community colleges.
John Rainey in this morning. Thanks for the time. I appreciate that.
Great. Thank you.